broadcasting from the shores of El Pacifico. Phil Hendry.
World famous Phil Hendry show every night till 1 o'clock on the West Coast and 4 a.m. on the East Coast. We're a news, talk, and entertainment show that knows what we're talking about. And truth is our bitch on this show. So we're going places other talk shows wish they could, but they cannot, because they don't believe in truth, because they don't believe in the fair and the just and the honest and the equal and the weird. But we do. Let me ask you a question. Are the goods that we're sending our troops in care packages good enough? Are the things that we send to our young men and women in Iraq, Afghanistan, and elsewhere in the world, are we sending these great young men and women the kinds of things that give them comfort and the kinds of things that remind them of home, a cool drink, some snacks, foods, other things that they may need, batteries for some sort of an audiovisual device they're using for their music or their movies? Are we sending them what they need? We're going to be talking with a young man, R.C. Collins, who is a cadet at Bradley Military Academy, a young man who is hoping to advance and have a career in the U.S. Army. We're going to talk to him about those things from home and those things that that we do send to our kids. Charlie LaFountain, who is a writer and a father, is going to join us in our second hour to be talking about how to dissuade child predators and what is your child's responsibility, believe it or not. We're going to talk with Charlie LaFountain about that. One of the things that he's writing about, which is controversial, is the need against all all of the conversation we've heard, is the need for the kids to keep on the weight, to have extra weight. So Charlie LaFountain joining us next hour here on the world-famous Phil Hendry Show. 877-876-7445 is our number, 877-876-PHIL. And our affiliate spotlight this evening, a WTAR Norfolk, Virginia, and KERN in Bakersfield, California, right up the road from us. We're going to get on the line here with R.C. Collins at Bradley Military Academy. This is in Altadena, California, as we kick off tonight. But one thing, put it on hold, will you? Put it on hold. Bud, put it on hold.
What?
The phone. Put it on hold. I can hear the... I wanted to mention our website, philhendryshow.com. If you head over there, be sure to get a backstage pass, which gives you access to literally years and years and years and years, 15 years worth of archive material, as well as our daily podcast, as well as our classic Phil podcasts, our video on demand, our daily video cast, which is up and running right now here from the El Pacifico. It's all there at philhendryshow.com. RC, how are you, sir?
Yes, Mr. Henry.
How are you?
I'm doing good, sir. Thank you for letting us talk about this.
What grade are you in? What level of cadet are you?
I'm a junior cadet.
You're a junior at Bradley Military Academy?
Yes, sir.
And RC, you wrote a blog for your cadet class. I guess there are a number of I know you have an academy newspaper there. And you also have blogs for your senior level and junior level, and you wrote one having to do with supplies from home, correct?
Yes, sir. The blog was called Message from Home, and it was about the kinds of things that troops get sent.
Yeah, maybe if you tell those guys to turn the TV down.
Yeah, turn the TV down. The article was about the kinds of things that or the blog was about the kinds of things that get sent to the troops in Afghanistan, in Iraq, and other places where they're deployed around, the world. And the substance of the blog had to do with the fact that a lot of it is pretty substandard. It's not because the people at home don't care. I think that there needs to be more thought put into what we're sending our troops. These are people that are defending this country, and I, for one, am very, very devoted and committed to my career here at the academy, and then eventually I want to go on to West Point. And
you want to become an officer?
Yes, sir, very much so. And then I hope to defend my country. I hope to be deployed to a theater where there is active engagement of an enemy. And I can tell you that I'm willing to go to the limits. I mean, I'm like everybody here at Bradley. We're ready to go to the limits for the country that we live in. And I'm pretty psycho about how I view defending my country.
And all right, so you guys are very, very committed, and we would expect nothing less. Although we are very appreciative of that. And so I take it that means that whatever you are supplied from home, and we're not talking about now standard Army issue stuff, right?
Well, I mean, the standard issue that you get in the services, whether it's the Army or the Marine Corps or the Air or what have you, is not going to be the same as what you can get from home. It's pretty, I mean, regular MRI is pretty, like, there's pudding and there's some meat, but it's a lot of it's dehydrated. It's not the highest quality kind of food, but you don't expect it to be high quality. It's coming from the Army. It's intended to make sure that you have enough fuel, but it's not supposed to be something that, you know, is comfort food. What we want from back home has more to do with, you know, rounding out the experience of being deployed overseas and having stuff from back home that is, you know, making it worth putting your life on the line.
Talking to R.C. Collins, who is not yet in the Army. He is a junior cadet at Bradley Military Academy. And we're discussing, I guess, the quality of the home front support. Now, we're not talking about anything here, R.C., having to do with... you are, as a young man, you're not yet in the military, but you see the way the average soldier is being supplied by the military itself as adequate, correct?
Well, yeah, and the one thing I want to correct, I'm not in the military in a technical way that you said. You're right about that, Mr. Henry, but it's not the best thing for our morale, I guess, to say, well, you're not in the military, you're not in the military. I mean, I am in the military in the sense that the minute I came to Bradley Military Academy, the minute I put on the cadet cap, the minute that we were on the parade grounds for the Commandant Parade, and then the different, things that we did, I mean, and learning and training and everything that goes into being a military academy, I am in the military, because otherwise, and I'm ready, I'm pretty psycho, and so are a lot of my friends that are here in the class. So to say that we're not in the military is kind of bad. It's kind of bad for the morale a little bit.
All right, well, I mean, what I'm saying is you're not an official member of the United States Army.
No, sir, not yet, no, but I know that, you know that. I mean, we don't have to keep, I guess, beating it into the ground, you know.
All right, well, I'm not going to beat it into the ground. I wanted to make that distinction. What are the things that the soldiers, that the sailors, that the airmen, that the Marines, what are the things that our fighting men and women around the world, what do you feel they are not getting?
Well, I think personally, and I've talked to a lot of the cadets here. I mean, there's a lot that they're not getting that they need to have that they are not getting. For instance, if you some of the stuff that they get borders a little bit on as if they're little kids, and I don't mean to say that I don't want to insult anybody at home because I know the parents really try to do their best, but it's a little bit of an insult to send, like, Pop-Tarts and stuff like that, you know.
And why is that an insult? Isn't that kind of a nice treat to have?
Well, I mean, we're fighting men, and, you know, we want to kill, you know, for the country and kill the enemy. And go, and you go, oh, yeah, here's a treat. It sort of minimizes...
So you feel that kind of diminishes the mission?
Yeah, a little bit. I think it diminishes the mission. It makes it seem so... You know, like, here's your Pop-Tart, go out and kill the enemy. I mean, that's really that very respectful. The other thing, and I think you saw this in the movie Hurt Locker, which was a very good movie, but I don't think it did a lot for the morale to show that sometimes you're going out, you know, on a mission or you're going out on patrol and you've got a juice box in a cooler, which is totally, totally, totally something that just a... Maybe a school kid would have, you know.
And well, are they drinking out of juice boxes over there or not?
Well, yeah, they are. But I mean, I didn't think it was good for the director of the movie to show it. And I think that's something that needs to be addressed. I don't think we want to have a juice box, you know, like that. It would be great if we had root beer or we had Coca-Cola. There's nothing wrong with that. But we would prefer to be in a container that, I guess, sort of you can look at and go, well, I got a bottle in my hand, I got a can in my hand, and I'm sitting here with a juice box like I'm a little kid, you know, that I'm not allowed to be able, I can't do my job. Yep.
Well, you're taking personally the idea that there's juice boxes and Pop-Tarts being sent to the troops, right? And
well, yeah, I think a lot of soldiers take it personally. I mean, we
have... Well, who have you talked to? Have you talked to soldiers that are upset that they're getting juice boxes and Pop-Tarts instead of what? And you say a bottle or a can?
Well, yeah, a bottle or a can or instead of a Pop-Tart, it would be better if you just... It doesn't have to be anything very elaborate. They have the sausages that you can get in the in the freezer section of a market. If you get the frozen sausage sandwiches that they have, those are very good. They have the sausage patties that are very good. I would much rather have the sausage patties or the frozen sausage sandwich than a Pop-Tart, which I think is just, like I said, kind of little kid-like.
All right.
Like the Jimmy Dean, they have those. And donating juice boxes is sort of cheap, too. That's the other thing I was going to say, and Pop-Tarts, too. We want to feel as if people are spending money on us because we could die. And if you're giving your life for your country and people are, like, being cheap... Yeah, I was just talking to Cadet... McMillan said that if you're being cheap, then it means you hold our lives cheap, too.
If you're being cheap, who are you talking to specifically now, RC? Are you talking...
Well, I mean, I'm talking to the parents. I'm talking to just everybody that gives stuff to the troops. Please don't hold our lives so cheaply in your hands that the only thing we rate are juice boxes and Pop-Tarts.
All right, our number is 877-876-PHIL, 877-876-7445. R.C. Collins from Bradley Military Academy talking about these snacks and supplies and things that are sent to the troops by civilians. I wanted to ask you, R.C., and I don't think that it's, I don't think I'm talking out of school now. When you say that you don't want people to be cheap, when you say you don't want the people out there to be cheap, the mothers and fathers... Aren't you being a little demanding, you know?
Well, I don't think so, sir. I mean, we're talking about giving our lives for the country. I'm going to die someday killing Al-Qaeda, and if there's a God in heaven, I'll die killing Al-Qaeda. That's how I want to go. And all I'm asking for is that instead of sending me treats, that I get a sausage sandwich or sausages. And you know... I mean, I'm too young now. If I go to Iraq or Afghanistan, I'll probably want to have a cigarette. And they don't even want to send cigarettes because the brass, the army, the top of the army don't want us to have them.
You guys don't get cigarettes.
No, we don't. And
well, you guys in the military academy are too young. But you're talking about the soldiers in Iraq and Afghanistan.
Well, I don't imagine they get cigarettes either, the way that they're treated by the Army brass and by civilians, too.
Well, there's a big thing about smoking. I mean, we could get into that, but I right now what we're talking about is what you consider to be the substandard stuff being sent by civilians. It's cheap. And R.C. Collins joining us from Bradley Military Academy basically saying, spend some money on us. We're going to sacrifice our lives for the country. We're getting Pop-Tarts and juice boxes, and we would appreciate... Instead, cans and bottles of root beer and sausage McMuffins and these kinds of things is there a disconnect here between us at home on the home front and what our young people, our young fighting men and women need? Because God knows whatever it is they need, we're ready to give it to them. Whatever it is they want, we stand here ready to give it to them. RC is talking about, quote, spending some money. 877-876-PHIL, 877-876-7445. The world-famous Phil Henry Show back in just a moment here with R.C. Collins. Don't forget our website, philhenryshow.com.
We can't fight this fight alone. Give us a call, 877-876-PHIL. That's 877-876-7445. Call the Patriot Hotline, dial 877-876-PHIL. That's 877-876-7445.
That's his TBR. Welcome back here to the world-famous Phil Hendry Show. And again, 877-876-PHIL as we talk here with R.C. Collins. Again, you guys need to have that TV turned down there. And we're talking with Mr. Collins and other members of Bradley Military Academy about the, I guess you could say, the care packages and the supplies and things that we send to our fighting men and women from home. And a lot of it, yeah, is comfort food. The Pop-Tarts and the juice boxes and the Starbursts, you know, and things like that. RC is claiming that this is rather inexpensive stuff and bruises morale when the soldiers get this stuff because they look at it and they think, how much are they spending on this back home when I'm here fighting for my country? Our number is 877-876-PHIL, 877-876-7445. We're going to take some of your phone calls as well. I wanted to ask you, RC, examples of other things that you consider to be substandard or cheap that come from the States.
Well, a lot of the guys I know that is coming back, and I tell you, a lot of them say they'll get things like Skittles, or they get, like you, what you just mentioned, Mr. Henry, which is the Starbursts, or they get, peanuts, and It when you're expecting to get sausages or to be able to get a big keg of root beer or something. I mean, I we're just asking, you know. Charles Dickens wrote Oliver Twist, which was a book about a little boy that was starving and living in London, and even he got, you know, you figure Twist got sausages and from the protagonist in the book. We just read it in our English lit class. So Twist, I think, is an example of how tough you can be, and that's what I was grateful for when I read about Twist.
At what did we say, Twist?
Oliver Twist.
Oh, I'm sorry, Oliver Twist, yeah. But that was a young man who was starving to death.
Well, that's what I mean. I mean, he didn't have anything, and yet when he did find people that would take care of him, he got sausages and things like that, but what we get are Skittles, and you just, I don't want to go and come out of a cave with an insurgent's head on a stick for a bag of Skittles, you know.
All right, 877-876-7445. I hear what you're saying, I'm also mindful of the fact that you're not yet in the military. Here is Jim. Hi, Jim, you're on the Phil Hendry Show with R.C. Collins.
Yeah, I just want to know how this guy feels like he can answer for men and women who've seen combat, himself not seeing combat. I know several people that have been over in the war.
Uh-huh.
And are grateful to get anything and look forward to getting their mail and stuff from home.
Well, I mean, yeah, I mean, you're right. But I know guys over there, too. See, I'm not talking about necessarily combat. I'm talking now about just what you get from the States, and you're over there, and any day you could take incoming, you know, like an incoming mortar, and guess what you got that day in the mail? You got, like, macadamia nuts or Starburst, and you're going to die for that?
No, you're dying for your country because that's what they signed up to do.
Well,
They're also getting paid. It's not like
we're paying them.
It's not like we're paying them Starburst to go put their lives on the line. That's added extras from home.
But it doesn't seem like it's enough that they could send, good Cadbury chocolates and stuff like that. You know, spend a little bit of money instead of going down to a liquor store and getting a big hunk.
I know plenty of people who are in the armed services and would be happy
uh-huh.
to get nothing from home. They're happy just to serve their country and don't feel like they have to have extra sent from home.
What about that, RC? Do you talk to guys that are? Do you talk to guys that are don't care?
I've never talked to anybody that doesn't care. Guys are always looking for an extra deal and everything. They're finding stereo equipment from Italy, and you know, or they're finding stuff from Egypt. I mean, they're always shipping stuff back here. I mean, if you think about the guys, they ship stuff stateside. That's pretty good. Like the older brother of a friend of mine, he shipped back a whole bunch of iPods and stuff that he got. Well, I mean, it was black market, but
all right. I mean, that's fine. But I mean, what do you hear guys complaining that they're not getting anything from the States?
Yeah, you hear a lot of people go, you know, you know, what's this mushroom, I mean, the mushroom stew that they got one time, and they got some Progresso soup, and they hated it.
Progresso soup. All right. Jim, thank you. Our number, 877-876-7445. Are the things that we send our men and women overseas, is it quality stuff, or are we shortchanging them? RC says, he's a cadet, though. He says we ought to spend more money. 877-876-PHIL.
Phil Hendry. Patriot Hotline, dial 877-876-PHIL. That's 877-876-7445.
Welcome back to the world-famous Phil Hendry Show, and we're talking with R.C. Collins, who is a cadet at Bradley Military Academy, and he's basically talking with us about the food and the treats and the snacks and the things like that that are sent to our troops overseas, whether they be Skittles or whether they be Starbursts, or whether they be juice boxes, or these kinds of things, socks, shirts, board games. RC, your basic point is they're not good enough. This stuff is cheap, and they want stuff that's better.
That's essentially it, sir. And
all right, now what about the fact that you haven't been over there? That was the comment that was made to you by the first caller. You haven't been there. You don't know.
Well, Mr. Henry, I've talked to soldiers that have been there. I've talked to guys that have gone over there, and they've all said to a man the same thing, that, you know, we don't want to tell civilians, because there's an attitude in the military. I don't know if you know this or not, but it's hard for us to be honest with civilians, because we don't know whether they're going to be able to take it or not, and there's a lot of ugly stuff that we've seen. But when we go to Iraq or Afghanistan, and they're going to send me a Slim Jim and a hand sanitizer, and I want to go, and I'm going to kill, well, not Bin Laden anymore, but you know, Al-Qaeda, and they're sending hand sanitizers and gum, you know.
Well, yeah, but the guy we just talked to said you're doing it for the pay, and you're doing it for the patriotism.
Yeah, you know, Mr. Henry, that sounds good in a movie, you know. That sounds real good in the movie, and it sounds real good on Fox and Friends. But I'm psycho. I'm ready to eat my own guts for my country, and I do want to eat my own guts for my country. But not to come back to base camp and see that somebody sent me a board game or mouthwash.
But what do you guys want? You want more porn?
I didn't say that, sir.
Well, I mean, to me, that's what it sounds like.
Well, I didn't say that, but
are you asking for adult things like that, porn, or are you asking for?
Well, we're asking for to be treated like men, yeah. And the fact is, we don't really have that much to relax to. If you're seeing adult films, I mean, I would appreciate that, yeah. And I would appreciate a beer instead of somebody sending me a, you know, baby wipes or something.
All right, 877-876-PHIL, 877-876-7445. R.C. Collins here. Here is Shane. Go ahead, Shane. You're on the Phil Hendry Show as we talk about the stateside stuff. Go ahead.
Hey,
Shane.
Hey, this is Shane from Connecticut.
Yes, sir.
Yeah, it's just funny to me that you have someone on the line here, R.C. Collins, that's a cadet who's never experienced anything, never been deployed. I'm a 10-year Navy veteran, honorable discharge. I was on submarines, and I've been deployed many, many months overseas. And the creature comforts of home are what matter. And I never, at
exactly.
any point in my military... Can
exactly.
I finish my point?
Well, yeah, but I mean, you guys, are you telling me you're happy with a baby wipe?
Let the guy finish.
Yeah, I mean, it's not about being happy or not being happy. You just appreciate the fact that your relatives, your friends, your family members are thinking of you, and you have that little taste of back home
to remember what you're fighting for. It's not the dollar amount or the physical gift itself. It's the fact that I'm fighting over here defending my country for my family members and my friends to live in a free country back home, and they're thinking about me while I'm out here. That's what you care about. At no point in my 10 years of service did I think, when I was deployed overseas, man, I wish someone would send me, a pornographic magazine, or I wish
you're in the submarine service. You guys had it pretty good. I mean, you get to eat steak and eggs and everything.
Oh, you think? Hey, how many submarines have you served aboard?
Well, Mr. Henry, didn't you say your brother was on a sub?
My brother was on a sub a long time ago, but still in all, your comment, RC, is you guys have got it easy. Submarine life is, you guys are working 24 hours a day, right, Shane? I mean, you guys don't stop moving on a sub.
Absolutely, Mr. Henry. It's 18-hour days, 6 hours on watch. It's daunting.
Right. You're underwater a lot, too, right? Are you not, you're not above the surface for long stretches.
No, are you kidding me?
That's not all that hard if you think about what other guys is doing in Afghanistan.
R.C. Collins, I'm not going to compare apples and oranges. Every service, every branch has its difficulties. My service was no easier than a Marine's and vice versa. I've done missions with Army Rangers. I've done missions with Marine Recons. That have ridden aboard my boat to do spec ops, and they've said to me, I don't know how you can do this. And the reason I was able to do it is because when I pulled into Liberty Ports or I pulled into a port, getting the letters from back home, the cards, the pictures, the thank you, we appreciate what you're doing. And for me, the biggest thing for me, I didn't care what anyone sent me. It's when you came home on leave.
Yeah.
And I got to see my parents, and I'd see other veterans, and they'd shake my hand.
If you're on a submarine, though, you get a granola bar. Right, but if you get a granola bar on a submarine, that's probably like, well, whatever, because we already get granola bars and everything like that. But in Afghanistan, if you get a granola bar, it's an insult, because you're thinking, yeah, it's sure, thanks.
I don't see it.
What?
I'm just glad that someone's thinking about me, and the food on the submarine... take it from my experience, it's not steak and eggs every day. It's dehydrated milk, it's dehydrated eggs, no produce, everything's frozen, so it's not that great.
Don't you get offended when you get popcorn and stuff like that? I would be.
Offended? Why would you be offended?
Why would I be offended?
Think about cheap
popcorn. I don't give you...
Civilians are cheap.
Your problem is you're fixating on... the physical gift
stuff.
Itself, what it is,
right.
And not the thought behind it, and not that you have relatives and family members that appreciate what you're doing for your country. You want another?
I know.
You want that attaboy pat on the back. But
I want to get stuff in the mail. If I just got out of a cave with an insurgent's head on a stick, I want to have something like better than a board game and shampoo.
Oh, like the man said.
What?
That's what you need. That's what you need to feel satisfaction for your job. You're like a ball of contradictions, because on one token you say, I eat my guts for my country. I do this, I do that. And then
I'm a psycho.
A minute later you say, but I want something from home that's worth it. I want something that's, I want, I'm not happy
right.
with it. Skittles.
Yeah, you don't want a hand sanitizers. You don't want all these things that are going to be sent by people, hand sanitizers and baby wipes. I mean, who knows, man? Maybe the Army or whatever says that the guys need that stuff. Shane, thanks so much for your call, and good talking to a guy on the submarine. What was the name of your boat? What
was the name of your boat? I was on the USS Helena stationed out of San Diego, California. Hoorah, say who? Hoorah, Helena.
My brother was on the Barb. Is the Barb still in service? Probably not, huh?
No, that's not. It's been decommissioned. That is a decommissioned submarine. But I appreciate your to have a have a connection to a fellow submariner. That's good to know.
Oh yeah, he went to New London, Connecticut, and then Pascagoula, which is where their boat was when he got out of the sub school. Was New London where you went?
That's where I live. I live in New London, Connecticut. I'm a Navy brat. My father was 20 years retired Navy. I was an instructor at the submarine school for my last 4 years in the service. So I've got
out of sight,
the
man.
Marine Force, and I've been deployed, and I know what it's like. I'm speaking from experience, not from a cadet's point of view who has
right.
experience. So.
I appreciate it. Thanks very much, sir. All right, there's Shane. RC, you know.
Well, I mean, you basically let him just, you know, have his way with me. And
what do you mean? He was talking about a guy who's out there getting stuff from home, stuff that they want, stuff that they need. And you're talking about what? You're talking about being in the academy.
Well, yeah, but I was given my point of view, and that guy's having his way with me, talking about how, yeah, this, and that. And I'm standing there just going, well, I mean, I don't know anything about no submarine, and nobody else knows anything about submarines. It's a pretty secret thing. Those guys probably think that, I don't know, they probably get bitching stuff in the mail, and they don't care.
Yeah, that's right. If you're on a sub, you get all the really cool stuff that you're talking about, like sausage McMuffins. All right, 877-876-PHIL. Anybody else in the service want to set this guy straight? You're more than welcome. R.C. Collins with us here from Bradley Military Academy as we talk about the stuff that's sent from home. The little things like the handy wipes and the baby wipes and the mouthwash and the socks that go to the soldiers and go to the sailors and everybody else. And as R.C. has been talking, as far as he knows and the people that he talks to, all that stuff is cheap. And they want you to start spending a little bit of money on them. 877-876-PHIL. It's the world-famous Phil Hendry Show.
We can't fight this fight alone. Give us a call. 877-876-PHIL. That's 877-876-7445. Patriot Hotline now. 877-876-PHIL. That's 877-876-7445.
Phil Hendry here with R.C. Collins from Bradley Military Academy. You know, R.C., you're talking very honestly and very earnestly here about wanting really good stuff from home. If you go to Afghanistan, if you go to Iraq, you want to make sure that you have really cool stuff. Meanwhile, you're being very childish.
Well, in no way, sir.
Well, when I said, would you hold on, which is a typical term, yeah, you're going, hold on to what? And we're on the air. You want to be treated like a man, why don't you act like a man?
Sir, I with all due respect, Mr. Hendry, I've acted like a man. I'm on a radio station. The way that I act like a man and the other people that I'm with is we're going to go to Afghanistan and Iraq, and we're going to kill the enemies of America. And then we go back to base camp, and you get back to base camp after you've been out on a mission, let me tell you what. And you come back to hot chocolate packets and gum? You know, you come back from a strike vehicle. You ever been on a strike vehicle, Mr. Hendry?
No, have you?
Well, that's not the point. Yes, I have, because I'm going to be. I mean, I'm in the military academy.
No, you've never been on a strike vehicle, and you've never been to Afghanistan. So, no, you don't know what it's like.
Well, I've got a way better idea, sir, than you do. And I'm just telling you, you come back from a mission, back to base camp, and there's sunflower seeds and Slim Jims, and you feel cheated, and you feel that nobody at home cares whether you live or die.
Oh, come on! And you're not even talking for a soldier. You come back from a mission, and you come back to base camp, you know.
Well, yeah, that's what it's called. You don't know what it's called. I do. And I come back from mission base camp, and all I see, and there's no sausage or sausage McMuffins or anything.
No, you know what? I've just heard from a number of people, we just heard from that young man, and I know you don't think it counts because he was on a submarine and they got all the really good stuff, saying that they appreciate the thought behind these things. Let's go to Tom. Tom, you're on the Phil Hendry Show with R.C. Collins. Go ahead, please.
Hey, young man, I'm telling you, I'm a Vietnam vet. I'm 65 years old. And
yes, sir.
When we got packages from home, we wanted foot powder. We wanted handy wipes. We wanted those things to keep we use handy wipes to keep our weapons clean half the time. We use foot powder to keep our foot clean so we can go out in the field. And by the way, young man, you do not go into combat with the idea you're going to give your life. The object of going into combat is to go in, complete your mission, and come back out alive with your men.
Of course, that's
sergeant.
What I want to do.
You'll never be a second lieutenant, young man, because you're just not that squared away. Thank you.
Well, sir, I want to go and kill the enemy, and come back to something more than the handy wipe, wouldn't you?
Until you had fired a shot in anger, don't tell me about killing an enemy. The first time you kill someone, young man, you're going to throw up all over yourself because it is not a pretty sight.
Are you kidding me? That would be the bitchinest thing ever.
He's talking real life here, Arce.
I have lived.
Well, I've done that movie Platoon.
That's a movie, R.C. Listen to this, gentlemen.
I have lived combat. 1st Battalion, 5th Marines, 3rd Battalion, 1st Marines, 5th Marine Brigade. You tell me what I did wrong. I came home. I took 39 troops over there in a platoon as a platoon sergeant. We came home, 39 men. We took them over. We brought them back. I'm proud of that. We didn't die.
That's very good. That's very good. Outstanding.
Yeah, but were you guys like, you know, in a heavy firefight and stuff like that?
Are you listening to what the man's saying?
I was in the Battle of Quezon. Look it up. Son of a gun.
What's that?
I'm telling you, it's not pretty.
Quezon, that was after the Tet Offensive. That was during the Tet Offensive. It's a very big battle. It's on Wikipedia. It's in all the encyclopedias. It's a part of history. It's a part of world history, the battle for Quezon. The Marines were there, and they won back that city during the Tet Offensive. And, R.C., you're being very disrespectful asking this man, taking a platoon over there and coming back with all of his soldiers, did you get into any fights?
Well, no, I didn't mean to be disrespectful. I just wondered if you can go over there with 39 guys and come back with all 39. Maybe they were just, you know, sitting around or something. I don't know.
Sitting around? It was Vietnam War.
Firefight? You're crazy, boy.
Well, I mean, I thought you
will never be a second lieutenant because you're just not smart enough to be an officer.
Well, I'm not trying to be in the Marines. I'm trying to be Army.
What's that supposed to mean?
Maybe you don't have to be as smart.
I know a lot of people in the Army. They wouldn't tolerate you. The only thing you'll ever be in your career, if you go into service, will be mess officer somewhere.
I
you
don't
have,
think so, sir.
You don't have
with all
attitude.
Due respect, with all due respect, I'm going to go in. I'm going to get an insurgent on the end of my bayonet. You'll see.
Oh, you're going to wind up getting killed, probably, R.C., with an attitude like that. You know, going in with a... You know, you've been watching way too many movies.
Speaking of movies, I want to ask this man.
If he's sick, he won't know what to do.
Well, what is going to make me sick about that? I just killed me what do you call the guys over there?
You have never heard any Marine, any soldier, ever tell you about killing the enemy. If they brag about killing the enemy, they didn't do it, young man.
What? Are you kidding
me? We did our job.
I seen a guy on TV the other day talking about it in Okinawa. And all the guys that they killed.
That was the World War II documentary. They asked them about it. Of course they're going to talk about it. Did you, what happened on Okinawa that they're going to talk about it?
No, it wasn't Okinawa. It was Iwo Jima.
Whatever, man. Same difference. They asked those Marines, what did you do? Where did you go?
Yeah?
My father was killed on Corregidor in World War II.
Where's that?
The Philippines, the beginning of World War II.
If you're at a military academy, you should know the military history.
Corregidor's where?
The Philippines, you idiot! That was the beginning of the war. That was right after Pearl Harbor was bombed.
Well,
you've never heard
about
the Bataan Death March? The Bataan Death March, right? You've never heard the term Bushido?
Is that food?
Is that food?
Yeah,
sure, it's food. Bushido is sure death.
I thought it was
Bushido
a dish.
Is where if you fall behind, the Japanese soldiers had no respect for anyone who was a prisoner.
What you got to do, R.C., is spend less time calling up talk shows and more time getting into your books and your history and other things and quit talking about stuff you don't know anything about and just shut up. That's what you need to do.
Well, if I don't say it, who's going to?
Nobody, and that's a really good thing. No one will talk about the dumbass stuff you're talking about, like getting Slim Jims and sunflower seeds and how you're not happy with that. Tom, outstanding to talk to you, sir. Thank you very much, Tom, and thanks for your service.
Many a time I would have given I'd given everything I had for a Slim Jim and a handful of sunflower seeds.
Are you kidding?
That somebody cared.
You could have gotten macadamia nuts.
You want to take a
in any event,
combat? You're crazy.
A what? take a beer in there.
Well, I don't want to take.
No, you want to take a juice box? Where, if you take a juice box in there, the Viet Cong will laugh themselves sick.
You know why I'll take a juice box? Because it's got
vitamins.
Because it's got the essential minerals in it that you need to keep going. It's got electrolytes.
Yeah.
In it.
But if the VC see you with it, they'll laugh themselves sick.
Take your water, boy.
Exactly, exactly. All right, Tom, thanks very much for your call. I appreciate it. And thanks for a very interesting caller. And if you would have kept your mouth shut, you might have learned something from that man. He's been around.
He goes into combat with a juice box. The Viet Cong would have gone, ha, 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 ha.
Yeah, and while they're laughing, guess what?
They get dead?
Yeah, that's it.
Didn't think about that one.
There's a lot of crap you haven't thought about on this show tonight. You call up with all kinds of silly-ass notions about things.
What are you getting all mad about? You're all like, there's a lot of crap you didn't think about tonight. God, just take it easy, Mr. Henry.
Well, waste my time, man. My producer says, oh, we got this kid from the military academy. He's going to talk to us about, you know, packages from home. The next thing I know, you're yakking about Slim Jims coming out of a cave with an insurgent on your bayonet and the Viet Cong laughing themselves sick when they see a Marine with a juice box.
Well, that guy said I was going to throw up when I killed me, my first insurgent. I don't think so. They just roll off my knife.
What? Throw up?
I got a fever
Phil
booster.
Phil Hendry. Broadcasting from the shores of El Pacifico, Phil Hendry.
World famous Phil Hendry show every night till 1 o'clock on the West Coast and 4 a.m. on the East Coast. The news talk and entertainment show that knows what it's talking about, where truth is our bitch and where we go places other talk shows wish they could, but they cannot. And that's the part that is devilish about it. And of course, we are radio for patriots, by patriots, every night here. As I mentioned, we're holding forth trying to help you across the sort of a maze, a kind of, I guess you'd say, a swamp of soft, dumb heads. Charlie LaFountain is going to be joining us this hour. Mr. Fountain is a parent and a member of his parent-teacher organization out in the Azusa area of California. He's the father of a 14-year-old girl. And he's going to be joining us next with some controversial ideas on how to dissuade child predators from attacking our kids. This is an ongoing problem. One of the good things about it, though, is that we are now very aware of it and we're dealing with it head on and we're not hiding it. And we're not, we're not as dumb as we used to be. I mean, I remember 20 years ago, the whole McMartin case was an example of mass hysteria just run amok. I mean, it wasn't just that people were beginning to imagine things. They were destroying people's lives and reputations in the process. So hopefully we've gotten a little bit smarter. Reminder that we are online at philhenryshow.com. That's philhenryshow.com. And you can get a backstage pass and access to our live streaming video of the show every night, Phil TV in HD, as well as our archives, podcasts, and our video archive, a 5-day archive of the show, audio as well as video. It's all there at philhenryshow.com. It's probably the best deal you're going to get anywhere on the internet when it comes to a radio show. Also, we're going to be on Fox and Friends on June the 14th on the Fox News Channel. 877-876-PHIL is the number. And Charlie LaFountain joining us from Azusa, California this evening. And Charlie, thanks for joining us, sir. How are you?
Very good, Phil. Thank you for having me.
And you are, right now, I know you're at some kind of an event.
It is a carnival that we have. It's the beginning of the summer carnival that we put on the men's club here at our church, and I'm in a booth, and that's what I'm doing. That's what I was doing before I got on the phone with you.
And you have been very vocal in your community. I know that there were, over the past 3 or 4 years, several instances of children being attacked, and we're not talking about necessarily in their homes by their fathers or male or female relatives. We're talking about in the community.
That is, yes. Unfortunately, we had one incident here over the last 8 months, which was quite traumatic for the community, as well as two incidents of a stranger attacking two young kids here, and so we put together some creative ideas and managed ideas that we hope will begin to arm our young people as well as parents, to the problem of predators, because this is the summer, and these are the months when the kids are out on the streets. They're doing all of the things that a young person wants to do. They're, you know, visiting their friends, or they're riding their bikes, or they're taking the bus, or going someplace, or driving a car. And we have come up with a steps that we feel need to be implemented, and we think that they go contrary, certainly, to the popular wisdom. And so that's what I suppose I'm warning you.
Well, and give me an example.
Well, an example would be we've heard, especially the last few months, we've heard that we've got an obesity problem among children. Well, I have to tell you that that's the least of our worries if we have an obesity problem, because we've also got a children are being attacked and murdered problem. And
now, you're not trying to panic people, are you?
No, I'm not trying to panic anybody, but you're aware, and I'm aware, and I think everyone in your audience is aware that children are at risk. So when we tell kids that they have an obesity problem and that they must lose weight, what we're telling them is shed the fat, slim down, get into a more healthy regimen, and become more attractive to a child predator, a freak, and a creep.
And well, that's not what we're telling them.
No, it's not what we're telling them, but that's the effect.
And so you're telling me that we need our kids to remain heavy.
What we need is our kids to not to know what are the priorities here. Is the priority keeping the weight off so that somehow you keep the weight off as a kid, so somehow you hit your 18th birthday ready to rock and roll? I don't know what that means. Or is the priority keeping the kid alive past tomorrow?
See, to me, that's panic talk. Keeping the kid alive past tomorrow.
I'm telling you, you don't know where these predators are. My daughter is 14 years old. She's a beautiful young lady. She's also an intelligent young girl. And we certainly are very proud of her. But I would much rather she sit down and eat all the pancakes that she wants, have all the donuts that she wants, and put some weight on, and create, if you will, a body type that's not going to be something that looks like eye candy to one of these freaks that goes after children.
And I think you are, it sounds to me like you're missing what being a child predator is about, you know?
Oh, I'm missing it. Well, what do you mean am I missing what being a child, Mr. Henry? I'm not missing anything. If you want to enlighten me.
Well, I think the psychological dynamic at work here, these people that are doing this are delusional people. They don't even get to what they're doing, I think, in some cases. Well, I think they know it's wrong. I'm not trying to give them an excuse there. But I believe that I don't know, that body type or whatever.
You're saying that you don't think that a predator that wants to target a young girl is going to care whether she is lovely, like my daughter, a lovely young lady, a healthy young lady, or if she has, or if she's fat and she's a little fat kid. You say there's no difference.
I think it's opportunity, you know.
You think, well, Mr. Henry, I have to tell you,
I just think it's opportunity. I think that it doesn't matter if she's slender or if she's fat. If there's an opportunity,
I am telling you, based upon my observations and based upon my instinct as a father who has a young daughter still at home, I'm telling you that I am not going to risk my daughter walking around in the summer months in California, a beautiful, healthy young woman. So one of these these guys that get their kicks and their freak with kids can spot her and try to snatch her off the street. I would rather that she is a fat kid, and I know that that's probably not going to... She's 14 years old, so I don't think... Well, she certainly...
Well, that's the other thing. 14-year-old girls are pretty aware of themselves.
I understand that, but they're not if you tell them they look beautiful.
14-year-old girls, it doesn't matter what you say to them, man. They're going to be walking around with their friends. The fact is, you want your daughter fat. Is that what you're saying?
I want my daughter safe. And the way to make her safe is to keep as much fat on her and make her I am tired of listening to these commercials.
The way to make her safe, then, is to make her unhealthy.
I'm not, no, I don't buy that at all. I don't buy that at all. I don't buy that a 14-year-old kid with fat is unhealthy. I don't buy that at all. You pack some fat on a kid, and the kid may live longer than next Tuesday. But
like I said, you don't want to panic anybody.
What I'm trying to do is I'm trying to get the word out to all parents. And that,
no, but when you say live past next Tuesday, live past next September, you are talking like a panicked man. And
Mr. Henry, we live in the state of California. The summer months are here. You're telling me there aren't guys standing on every street corner whose freak isn't some young, I don't know how these guys think, but they think, they look at a kid and they think it's a tasty deal. I don't know how these freaks think. But if they look at my daughter, what they're going to see, if children to these guys are pieces of fruit on a tree, my daughter is a fat pear that's hanging from a tree. And
so you want to make her a fat kid so that she isn't so attractive. All right, our number is 877-876-PHIL.
Well, I didn't say make her unhealthy, but what I am saying is we need to begin to look seriously at how to attack this problem, and let's stop with all of this. We've got an obesity problem with children. What we have right now is a problem that our children are being victimized, and we have to dissuade these predators. We need these kids to stay fat and to stay in the mind of a predator as revolting as humanly possible.
Well, I would love to be able to sit down and look at the psychological profile of some of these people and ask them, well, now, this kid is really fat and revolting. Did it make any difference? Are these people, mentally, does it matter to them, And I don't know what happens if we get a call this hour from someone who was attacked as a child and they were fat.
Well, in their mind, they were fat. See, that's the thing. In their mind, you've got a lot of these anorexic kids. They think they're fat. I think we need these kids to be fat and then at 17, I think we need to get them to mandatory fat camps so that they can hit their 18th birthday in good shape and be attractive or however they want. But as long as they're underage and they're children, we need for them to be as repulsive and revolting as possible to any weirdo that wants to take advantage of them.
And in your mind, that's keeping them fat.
Keep them fat and don't harp on the whole childhood obesity thing. Keep your kid fat and weird looking. Keep your kid fat and just, and I say this with the greatest of love and respect for many parents, but if your kid is sweating, if he's fat and he has a smell about him, keep the child and of all of these things.
It has a smell about him? What do you mean by that?
Well, when I was a kid, and when you were a kid, there was always one kid in the class that smelled, was fat, had, I don't know, oil, it was oily. What is wrong? We always say, well, ha, 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 look at that kid. But you know what? I bet you that kid stayed alive. He lived to see his 18th birthday.
Well, I can tell you that I wasn't fat. I wasn't oily. And I didn't get attacked and molested.
Well, did you walk home from school?
I rode my bike.
You rode your bike? How far did you ride your bike?
Probably about 3 miles.
You know what? I can't talk to you if you're not going to be honest with me.
I'm being honest with you. I rode a bike. I rode my bike home about 3 miles back and forth.
Well, I was in the 1960s. They were not as brazen and as bold, all right? And back in those days, they probably had their pick of the litter. What do they want? Some kid like you, some freckle-faced kid. So we are hopeful that parents will begin to take this message, allow their children to eat. And even if the child becomes a fat and repugnant child, he's only repugnant to a predator. He's not going to be repugnant to you. You love him. And if he sweats and he stinks, that's sweating and stinking to the kids in the school, not you. You understand?
All right, and so we'll give this kid a real great complex as he gets older, as he's made fun of, as he's called fatty, as he's called piggy, as he's told that he smells. That's really going to help, huh?
Would rather that happen, Mr. Henry, or you find him behind a garbage bin someplace dead with his pants pulled?
All right. Unbelievable. Our number is 877-876-PHIL, 877-876-7445. What do you think about the idea that harping on childhood obesity is a bad thing because if we keep the kids fat, then they don't make such targets for predators. An obese kid dissuades a predator, according to Charlie LaFountain here on our Newsmaker line. And then, of course, the mandatory fat camps at 17. Our number is 877-876-PHIL, 877-876-7445. Your call's next on the world-famous Phil Hendry Show.
We can't fight this fight alone. Give us a call. 877-876-PHIL. That's 877-876-7445. Call the Patriot Hotline, dial 877-876-PHIL.
Hold on, hold on.
That's
I want to
877-876-7445.
Welcome back here on the world-famous Phil Hendry Show, and with me is Charlie LaFountain, a father, member of the men's club out in Azusa at his daughter's, at their church, and you have been talking and setting up a program with other parents having to do with the making the kids unattractive to predators, which basically means keeping them obese, which is what we've been hearing we should not be doing with our kids, that we have an epidemic of obese kids.
Mr. Hendry, again, I if you want me to repeat what I said.
No, I'll tell the audience that essentially your point is it's better for the child to be fat than to be dead, is essentially what you're saying.
That is exactly correct, sir. And I'm not going to, I'm not trying to scare anyone, but I won't back off of that. I would much rather that my daughter live to see the sunrise next Wednesday.
See, everything with you is like right away she's going to die, man. Tomorrow, the next day.
I want my daughter to enjoy her life. And if that means that we are serving, and we do, I can give you, we serve her pancakes for breakfast. She doesn't leave the table unless she eats at least the three quarters of the pancake dish or a waffle and so forth. We must understand, and I told you, and you laughed during the break, when we were leaving 2 weeks ago, we were leaving one of these scout meetings, and I had three or four of the girls in the car, my daughter and three of her friends. I was driving them home from a meeting. We saw this guy hanging around the corner. He looked like a creep. I knew he was one of these child grabbers right away, I could tell. And I rolled the window down, and I told him that we've got nothing but fat kids in this car, and he's welcome to, if he wants to even walk over and take a look. Of course, I didn't mean that.
Yeah, if you got a guy like that hanging around the neighborhood, why don't you call the cops?
I rolled the window down and I said, I know why you're here, and I got nothing but fat brats in this car.
Now, and how does that make those girls feel?
Are you kidding? I've got a guy who...
Sir, you don't have any idea whether that guy is there to be a predator or not. All I know is you're yelling at some stranger on the street, I got fat brats in this car.
I'm telling him that the fishing's no good. This is not the fishing hole he wants to be at. Move on down the road. Go to another spot.
Go to another spot. Victimize somebody else's kid.
No, that's not the message that I'm trying to send is, buddy, we're on to you. And we're on to all the predators out there that are trying to victimize children. I got nothing but fat ones in here. And I told you, Mr. Andrew, we were talking about being a child. The fat kid, the one that smelled like you couldn't describe it when you got home to your parents. Do you remember when you were a kid, you'd get home to talk to your parents, they'd say, how did school go? And you couldn't describe the smell on that one kid.
And no, I don't remember that at all, to be honest with you. 877-876-PHIL. I have to move on to get to a phone call here. Mark, go ahead. You're on. Mark? 876-7445 here on a Phil Hendry Show with Charlie LaFountain, and we're talking with Charlie about his idea that we have obese children. And these children are should not be told to lose weight. They should be told to put the weight on. They should be told to put on as much weight as possible so that they dissuade predators. And what about what we tell women? Don't dress sexy. It only attracts rapists.
I don't know about that, Mr. Hendry. I'm not here to talk about women. I'm here to talk about children.
Well, the message is the same. The message is, if you make yourself less attractive, then you won't attract predators. It's the reason why women who are raped become fat, because they don't want it to happen again.
Well, we don't want it to happen the first time. And so, in order not to let it happen the first time, we're asking that the parents of these children put the weight on and keep it on. And make sure that these kids, as they are eating these meals, whether they are pancake meals, whether they are potato meals, to make sure they finish these meals. And that by, say, 2 or 3 weeks out, you've got a kid that is a fat kid. That's the only way I can put it. An obese child, or however you want to put it.
877-876-PHIL. We got Mark back on the line. We lost him. No, yes, no, yes. No, yes, no, yes, no, yes, no, yes, no, yes. Mark.
Hi.
Hi.
The gentleman out in California, I have 4 boys, 10, 5, 4,
yes,
and 2.
Sir.
And I'm going to tell
yes,
you.
Yes, sir.
Yes, I don't raise my children, and I wasn't raised the same way. We were raised to learn the dangers of the world. We are
absolutely
people.
Absolutely.
But that is exactly what needs to happen. It's an issue of parenting at this point. If you're not teaching your children what to look out for, you are causing more harm than good. You are.
Oh, I want to teach them, but I also don't want them to be walking down the street and they're a target for some freak who sees this.
Predators are going to take the opportunity. If you don't teach your kids the dangers, it doesn't matter if they weigh 5 pounds or 500. They're going to take the easiest opportunity. So by not,
you're telling me that the predator he's going to go after a 500-pound kid.
Plenty of airtime. So by
exactly. Why don't I tell you what, Mark? Why don't you hang on the line here? We'll be right back with your number 877-876-PHIL, 877-876-7445. We'll be back. The Phil Henry Show.
Patriot Hotline now, 877-876-PHIL. That's 877-876-7445.
Welcome back here on the world-famous Phil Henry Show, and hanging on is Mark, and we also have Charlie the Fountain. Charlie, you were saying it in the break?
Well, I was just saying that my daughter, we want my daughter as fat and, frankly, as unhygienic as possible. We don't let her take that. She takes 2 showers a week.
So in other words, you want your daughter to be repulsive to everybody and everything.
If it keeps the child alive.
I know, next Tuesday.
No, I'm talking about, I don't know, is the gentleman there that I was talking to?
Yeah, Mark is here.
Yeah, I'm still here.
Wouldn't you rather your child be walking around alive at the age of 18, fat and stinking like a goat?
Well, your church going, there is no guarantee on anybody's life. All you can do is prepare your children for the best way possible. But I'm going to tell you one thing. If you're, and it sounds like your heart wants to be in the right place by keeping your kids safe, all what parents want to do. But if your mind was where your heart was, you teach them about the dangers of the world, not about how many pork chops they're going to eat. You're going to teach them about what to look out for. If you guys want to do something to really help your community and the children, you're going to tell them about the dangers. You're going to tell them about what not to do, not to go down the alleyway, not to go anywhere by yourself, not to open the door for strangers. That's what you do. You don't sit there and just say, hey, eat as many pieces as you want to do. That's just, you can't get there from here, and you can't fix stupid. That's all I'm saying.
Well, I think what you're jumping to some conclusions. Of course I do. As I said, when we were leaving that scout meeting, there I saw that guy in the corner, and I said to him, hey, pal, they're fat, and they're with me.
I'll bet you that made those kids feel great.
No, but I'm saying to the kids, there's one of the creeps right now to hang around here.
Well, let me tell you something. When I was 10 years old, my brother and I and my family was on vacation, and there was a child abductor at the pool where we were at in our hotel. He didn't even belong there. He was part, unfortunately, of the National Guard. So, that guy shouldn't have been in there. But
wow.
It wasn't because we were fat. It wasn't because we were an opportunity, because our parents had just went inside for a second and left us there. But they had taught us enough smarts to know, to recognize the situation. And that gentleman was apprehended in Nashville, Tennessee. That's what you do.
Was he able to get a hold of you? Did he take you in the car?
No, we wouldn't go. They tried to sweet-talk everybody. No, we wouldn't go. That's because our parents taught us the right way.
But let me ask you a question. Here's the $64,000 question, though. How much did you weigh? Were you fat and ugly, or were you a slim-down, good-looking little morsel?
Come on, will you?
No, that's a fair question. Let me tell you, when I graduated, I was 5'6" and 230 pounds.
That sounds about right.
230 pounds at the age of graduated from high school, 18?
Yeah.
230 pounds.
I was obese. The gentleman was out for an opportunity. That's what I'm trying to say.
You were obese. Exactly. You picked up the weight when you found out this creep was going after you.
No, you're not listening to this man.
You cannot get there from here because we can banter all night long. And that's fine.
I understand.
And believe what you're going to believe, but I'm going to tell you, if you really want to help your children and the children in your community, you're going to show them the right way. You're going to teach them right from wrong. Not about, don't worry about it. And you talked about fat camps. Really, you're going to give a child 17 years of not doing, having to do anything at all, and then all of a sudden you're going to put them through a boot camp to, you want to kill them at 18 because
you've got to slim them down.
You're not used to it.
Don't you want to, once they've been fat through their childhood years and they haven't been hit on by these predators, then you got to, put them in the fat camp and get the fat off.
Why?
Because they're going to be 18 going to college.
Oh, man. I mean,
isn't there opportunities to go after 18-year-olds? Anybody can hold a gun. If it doesn't matter how much you weigh, you're going to put that person that gun says.
But it's not my problem.
Right? There's your $64,000 question. How do you fat your way out of that?
How do I fat my way out of that? Or fat my way
you're
out
doing.
Of that? I fat my way out of it by saying that at the age of 18, they're adults. I can't make them do anything. I can't tell them to put on weight, take it off, nothing. So I have to let them do what they're going to do, and they're going to be dumb. You want to know why? Because they didn't get fat. Forget it.
No, this man's making so much sense that you can't. The man's right. You can't fat your way out of it. Listen, very good, Mark. Thanks for the call. I appreciate that very much. Our number, 877-876-PHIL. Charlie DeFountain with us as we talk about the best way to dissuade predators from coming after your kids. And your idea, and it's been described as revolutionary, is essentially just making the child as physically unappealing. And then you just heard what this man said.
I had no idea how much he weighed. He said that there was a child abductor at the pool that he was at. But I didn't know what the kid looked like, and I don't know whether this guy was going after this kid or not. He said he was fat when he graduated. What I'm saying is we've got too much of an emphasis, far too much of an emphasis on taking off the weight, and too much childhood obesity and all of this stuff. We've been talking until we're blue in the face about this. I feed my daughter large meals, big meals. We always sit down as a family and we eat a very large and big meal. We have candy. There's no diet soda. I forbid her to exercise. I forbid my own daughter to exercise. Do you think I do that because I don't love her? Do you think I do that? Do you think I want my daughter to be the fat? And she's fat. There's no question about it. She started out at the age of 14. She was very lovely, but I want that kid fat. And she's fat. And she only is allowed 2 showers a week. That means, yes, she does. She stinks. And
they're going to send her home from school, or they're going to send Child Protective Services out to your place.
No, they're not going to do that.
Well, because if the kid's coming to school fat and stinks, they're going to wonder whether this kid's got any proper hygiene, what kind of a home she comes from.
No, she doesn't stink. I just used, when I said stinks like a goat, it was hyperbole.
You said to that man, would you rather your kid be alive past next week or fat and smells like a goat? What does your daughter smell like, a goat?
No, she doesn't smell like, first of all, I wouldn't know what a goat smelled. Well, we were in Jamaica once on vacation. I never smelled a goat, but I can tell you, I was fed goat stew. And I had a conversation with your producer before we went on the air, the Mr. Rance.
Uh-huh.
And he's going on and on about goat stew, and I said, you need a psychiatrist. You need a...
All right, enough about him and goat stew. I'm talking about your daughter.
No, my daughter doesn't smell like a goat. But she stinks the way a kid stinks to another kid. In other words, if you go into a classroom as an adult and you smell about 40 kids,
smells like a kid, right? In other words, it may not be the most pleasant odor in the world. You know and I know. We all know that kids smell. But to another kid, she may stink like a dead body. You know what I'm saying?
So, no, I don't know what you're saying. I don't know anything that you're talking about here.
You've got to be putting me on.
I know that when I was in school, there were kids that some kids had better hygiene than others. You know.
Well, what did your mother tell you?
I was a skinny kid. Okay, I was a really, really skinny kid.
No, I mean about taking a bath.
I took a bath every damn day, man. I took a shower every day. That's what they wanted me to do. And
did you use deodorant?
Yes, all of that stuff. I was taught to do that. What the hell's wrong with you, man? You're going to teach a kid that?
Of course you are. So what you have to do is do something radical and different. If you want to keep a predator away from your kid, make sure that your kid goes out the door smelling like something that has been dead under the house. And
you gotta be kidding me, man. There's no way on God's good green earth that any parent is gonna allow that to happen. You're gonna have the school after you. You're gonna have the school.
The school's gonna come after you for what?
Sending a kid off to school like they don't get proper hygiene at home. You're gonna have Child Protective Services.
Well, again, I think you're mistaking what I'm saying.
No, I understand perfectly what you're saying, Mr. LaFountain. You're saying make sure the kid is fat, make sure the kid stinks, make sure the kid's oily, make sure the kid is just a real repulsive wad of bleh, you know, going to school, and predators won't go near. And what happens when you're wrong?
When I'm wrong.
Because it's going to be a win. It's not going to be an if. If you allow kids just to, you know, degrade to that level, and then that's the only protection you give them.
Hear what I said? I told that guy standing on the street corner.
Yeah, that's another thing, man. Telling that guy that you thought was a child. How did you know that guy was a child molester?
I didn't know. I didn't know he was a child molester. He looked like some bum that was hanging around on the corner who looked like he wanted to put his hands on somebody somehow. I don't know what. But he was hanging around loitering. He looked like a real bum. A real beatnik bum. So as we were pulling out.
A beatnik bum.
You know what I mean. So as we were pulling out, I said to the girls, I said, girls, watch this one. And I rolled the window down, and I said to the guy, I said, hey, bum, I got four of them in here, real ripe, but fat. And when I said ripe, I wasn't talking about ripe like a piece of fruit. I said the smell alone. And guess what he did? He turned on his heel and just began walking down the street right out of the neighborhood.
Bull crap.
Are you calling me a liar?
Yeah, that's exactly what I'm calling you.
You're saying that didn't happen.
You're telling me that you looked out the window at some guy.
You know what, Mr. Henry, a very pleasant and profitable good evening to you. And frankly, sir, I hope you die early of a fun.
Wow. Wow.
What'd he do?
He hung up, but not before he hoped that I die early of a heart attack. If I die of a heart attack there, Mr. LaFountain, it won't be early, man. How do you like that guy?
Yeah, you were laughing at him, though.
You're damn right I was laughing at him. This guy's telling me that he pulls out of some Girl Scout meeting with his daughter and two of her friends, sees some guy standing on the corner, right?
Yeah.
And he looks out the window and he thinks this guy's a child molester, and he goes, hey, bum, I got four of them in here, fat and real ripe. And the guy turns around, he claims.
Who?
This guy that he said, this bum, turns around and walks out of the neighborhood.
Are you kidding me, man? That's a pretty effective tool.
He's not telling the truth. Are you kidding?
That guy's on here online, too. I don't know if you want to talk to him or not.
These people always call back after they have. Mr. LaFountain, you hung up on me.
Yes, can I speak with Robert Leonard, please?
Mr. LaFountain, it's Phil Henry, the host of the show.
Yes, sir. I don't want to talk to you. I want to speak to the gentleman who understood me. I just heard a man who understood everything I said.
Yeah, this is Robert Leonard.
Shut up. You're talking to me. I'm the host of the show.
Yeah, I want to speak to the man that was sympathetic to my point of view.
He wasn't sympathetic. All he said was he believed that this guy turned on his heel and walked out of the neighborhood.
I told you that I looked at him and I said, hey, bum, there's four fat... Right. I gave the... You were never in the Navy, were you?
No.
I was a signal corpsman, so I did the signal...
Yeah?
I had some signal corps flags in the trunk of my car, and I did the signal for four, fat, and right.
Good night.
Good night? That's all you have to say is good night. You know, there is a hell, Mr. Henry. There is a hell. It's real. It's very real. People go there. You'll go there. In fact, you're next.
You know, I take that as a threat.
Yeah, it sounds like it.
I could. I could take that as a threat. You're next. I got the Signal Corps flags out of the trunk of my car.
Yeah, we probably stood behind his car and went, four, right, fat.
How do you know what Signal Corps stuff is?
Well, I mean, I read about it.
That's a guy that's this guy's off his freaking cracker, man. He's got the flags. Four, ripe, and fat.
Yeah, and then the guy turned around and split.
Yeah, I'm sure that all happened, man, just the way he said it did. Because Charlie LaFountain's got it down, man. I got four in here, they're fat and they're ripe. He's doing it with Signal Corps flags, and the dude splits. There's no way, man.
Why don't you believe people, man? How come you're all so cynical?
Robert, there's a difference between being cynical and just a complete and utter imbecile, all right? I'm not going to believe that because only an idiot would believe that.
So you call me an idiot?
Pretty much, yeah, yeah. If you believe that, yeah, you are. You're an idiot.
Well.
Uh-huh. We'll be back here on the world-famous Phil Henry Show, 877-876-PHIL. The world-famous Phil Henry Show and philhenryshow.com. Our news and information hour coming up next with Robert Leonard and Bud Dickman.
We can't fight this fight alone. You know, give us a call. 877-876-PHIL. That's 877-876-7445.
Where you're going, there's no air conditioning.
Call the Patriot Hotline, dial 877-876-PHIL. That's 877-876-7445.
All right, we're going to try something, and I don't know. Welcome back here to the world-famous Phil Henry Show. One of the people that we use frequently on our program as a contributor is Herb Sewell. Mr. Sewell spent 8 years at Atascadero Forensic Hospital for the, it used to be called for the criminally insane. These days they call them forensic hospitals, but he was there. And he was remanded there by the courts after being found guilty of a variety of crimes against children. He is on our Newsmaker Line 3. And, Herb, you there?
I'm right here, Phil, yeah.
All right. And Charlie LaFountain, Mr. LaFountain, I thought I'd get you back on the line because I wanted to... wait a minute. That was... we're still got R.C. Collins going? That's nuts. All right. Here is Charlie LaFountain. Sir, are you there?
I'm here, but I want the record to show that I am going to be talking to a freak, okay? No, there's no need, sir, to be that. No, hold on. Hold on for a minute. I understand that Mr. Henry says he wants me on the radio with you, and you're a freak of nature. Do you understand that?
I understand you have issues. Yeah.
I have issues, that's right. I've got issues.
All right, but, you know... I thought you two could dialogue.
Don't give me this modern dialogue. I'm going to dialogue. Next thing you know, you're going to tell me I'm going to get a, what do you call it? Talk about closure? Yeah, they're going to want me to have closure. Is that what you want me to have, closure?
No, I just, all right, the two of you can talk. All right?
Well, here, if I could start off, with all due respect, Mr. Fountain, your daughter, you say, is how old? I'll tell you about my daughter, but I want it to be very clear. If anything happens to my daughter... Because of this conversation I'm having with you, you'll look like something they cut down from the roof of Ed Gein's barn. Do you understand what I'm saying?
I understand, sir, yes.
So as long as we're clear, you'll be gutted, salted, and tanned.
I understand, sir.
Good God. All right, we got it.
Not you. I'm talking to this guy.
All right.
Your daughter's how old?
My daughter's 14.
And how much does she weigh?
Boy, you really, you're full.
How much does she weigh? How much your daughter weigh?
My daughter weighs 190 pounds.
14 and 190?
Yo, what are you going to do now? Oh!
I didn't say anything.
Oh! 14 and 190 pounds, yeah.
Your daughter's 14 and 190 pounds, and you only allow her to shower how often?
Are you getting your jollies or something?
He's asking these questions for a reason.
Oh, I bet he's asking them for a reason.
I'm not getting my jollies, as you put it. I just get... There's a method to my madness, if you will.
What was your question?
I just realized it's sort of a pun that I had. A method to my madness? Because at one time I was mad. You know, very mad. You know, see what I mean? He's going freak on me.
Come on, Herb, just stick with it, okay?
All right. And how many times a week? My daughter showers twice a week. And what would you say she smells like? What does she smell like? She smells like a compost heap. Like dung. Yes, like dung, like fertilizers. Yeah, she smells most of the time like cow dung.
God!
Take it easy, Mr. Henry, okay? I have here a 14-year-old girl. I'm just taking these notes. A 14-year-old girl. And another thing, I don't like the way you talk. A 30-year-old girl. Why don't you talk like an American, okay? I am an American. Why do you talk, you know...
Come on, Charlie, we're losing time here, and you're nitpicking a bunch of horse dung, okay? Speaking of horse dung, cow dung.
I said cow dung, not horse dung. What's the difference in the stink? I think there's more of a rich and aromatic... What do you mean, what's the difference? I don't know what the difference is.
All right, just ask the questions.
Well, none of the questions. Here's my comment, and here's my statement to Miss LaFount, it's all in thing. The child's 14 years of age. She is 190 pounds, means probably 200 pounds by the end of the summer. That is our goal, yes, sir. That is your goal, yes. She smells, as you say, like a compost heap or like a freshly laid cow patty. I didn't say anything about being laid, okay?
He didn't say a freshly dumped cow patty.
Right. So, I forgot that. She sweat? Yes, she sweats profusely. Yeah, probably sweats like a pig, you say? Sweats like a farm animal. Yeah, like a racehorse. Well, I can't see anything wrong with that. Yeah. Why, you lousy... that's it. I'd like to know where you live. I'm not telling you where I live. All I'm telling you is I don't see anything wrong with that.
Oh, man.
Where does he live, Mr. Henry?
You know what, Herb? I didn't know you were going to come on here and bait the guy.
Yeah! Sounds like barbecue to me. Mr. Henry, I demand that you tell me where this guy lives.
I can't and I won't, okay?
You won't. You're not doing it. I get me some barbecue sauce on something like that. Yeah. All right, I'll tell you what I'm going to do, Henry. What up? Let me ask you a question. You sure you like girls?
We had to cut out of that because what happened was a lot of foul language ensued and we just dumped. I hope you'll forgive me, ladies and gentlemen.
Boy, that guy LaFountain, what do you think gonna do?
He's gonna just have to sit there and stew in his own anger, man. I ain't telling him where Herb is. And I do want to get Herb back on the line and tell him that's the last time I have him on the air.
You're kidding?
No, I'm not kidding because he purposefully set that guy up to bait him and to piss him off. That's the last time he uses my show to do that. We'll be back with our News and Information Hour next with Robert and Bud here on the world-famous Phil Henry Show.
Phil Henry.
Yeah!
Broadcasting from the shores of El Pacifico, Phil Henry.
World famous Phil Henry Show every night till 1 o'clock on the West Coast and 4 a.m. on the East Coast. A news, talk, and entertainment show that knows what it's talking about, where truth is our bitch, and where we go places other talk shows wish they could, but they can't. How do I know? Because they tell us. Every night, baby, we are here. We make truth our bitch, and we appreciate you being with us. Visit us online at philhenryshow.com. If you get a backstage pass, you can watch us doing our show, performing our show every night here on video, watching Phil TV here at the El Pacifico. As a matter of fact, right behind me, the beautiful dusk sunset of the Pacific Ocean over our Channel Islands and the ocean cracking across the jetty. And probably it smells a little bit. Well, it probably smells a little bit like Charlie LaFountain's daughter out there right now. Now then.
Oh, you've got a call back now for sure.
Let him. He hung up on me twice. Both times, one, he wished I had a heart attack, and the other one, where I'm going, it's real hot. No, that's real creative.
No, he said, where you're going ain't no air conditioning.
Oh, meaning I'm going to stay in the studio? Because that's what I got here.
Yeah, you got a fan.
Whoa, I got a fan. Woo! I got a fan. I had the greatest fan here, and I'm going to find out which one of you guys broke it. And when I do, oh yeah, man. The pain gonna come.
I didn't touch your fan, man. I told you that a million times.
I had the best fan And what it was for you guys at home, it was a small desk fan with fabric blades. You've seen them. They're not the hard plastic blade. Fabric blades, and it was small, and it circulated the air beautifully. It's all I need during a break or times when we cannot, you know, when we can have the fan on, because we have to cut our fan off and cut off the external noise when we're on the air. As much as I have a very nice directional mic made here by Electrovoice, it's not entirely directional, and so we're going to get a little bit of noise. And with this fan, it was, as I said, it was a nice thing to have. And somebody broke it, man. I walked in here one day, and it didn't work.
I didn't do it.
Well, I've heard Robert say he didn't do it twice, so that leaves you, huh?
I don't know what fan you're talking about.
You know the one I'm talking about, man. That black fan. Well, I ain't going to waste any time with it. I'm not going to waste any time with it. But I'll tell you how to find out who did it, and when I do... Yeah, remember Al Pacino in Carlito's Way?
Here comes the pain!
That's...
I love that movie.
You ain't gonna love it, man, when the pain is coming down on you, I'll tell you that.
I don't know what a fan you're talking about. I told you that one time, and I keep on saying it every time.
Well, and who was it, man? Because now it's pissing me off again.
I don't know, man. I don't want the fan. You said it come in broken.
Yeah, it was broken, and you two clowns were in here that weekend. If there's one thing that I can't stand, if there's one thing that drives me around the bend, makes me almost homicidal, makes me throw caution to the wind and recognize that I will spend the rest of my life probably behind bars, but it won't matter at all because this is something that just sends me over the edge. It's when people go into a studio on the weekend, a studio used by someone during the week, and they go into that studio on the weekend and they go, oh, a studio, let's use it. And let's move all the pots and push all the buttons.
I never do that. I told you I don't do it.
Well, somebody is coming in here, and I bet you it's a friend of you guys. You letting people in here on a weekend?
No, not anymore.
Not anymore. Clue number one. All right, the Phil Hendry Show here, 877-876-PHIL is our number. And, of course, online at philhendryshow.com. Why don't we find out what the latest is on Anthony Weiner, if you'll pardon the expression, on Anthony Weiner.
Or on it.
I'll do it. Don't worry. Let me do the jokes. When they start with the word wiener, let me do the jokes, please. So Anthony Weiner, he's got himself...
in a bun.
He's got himself in quite a bun. And I think that Anthony Weiner, to get out of this, he's going to have to kind of, he's going to have to, I think, push the outer limits of that bun, you know?
You blew it. It's supposed to be you're supposed to push the outside of the envelope.
Yeah, I guess they push the outside of the bun.
Okay. Excuse me, folks. I blew it. It should have been, yeah, that Anthony Weiner, he better push the outside of the bun. Nonetheless, he does have a problem. Let's see just how deep and dirty and nasty it's gotten. One of the things about the tweeting and twitting and all these other niceties, things where you are sending pictures through the marvelousness of the Internet, is they're pretty easy to track, to be perfectly honest with you. They are not most people's communiques via the Internet are fairly easy to track. It's not a big mystery. And you can go back, and the FBI can, and they can see how and when and thus and so. So I don't think that this is going to be a mystery much longer, if in point of fact they haven't figured it out yet. But what we did find out, as you know, Anthony Weiner... his Twitter account, I should say, sent a lewd picture. Representative Weiner said yesterday, or he might have said this today, and this is bizarre, he isn't sure if he's the man in the lewd photo sent on the Twitter feed. Representative Weiner said he didn't send a crotch photo over Twitter to a 21-year-old co-ed, but couldn't say for sure that the lewd snapshot was not of him. In an interview with MSNBC's Luke Russert, Representative Weiner won't deny the lewd picture is of him.
I didn't send that picture out.
But that's not a picture of you?
You know, I can't say with certitude. My system was hacked. Pictures can be manipulated. Pictures can be dropped in and inserted. One of the reasons that I've asked a firm that includes an internet security arm is to take a look at what the heck happened here. Let's kind of keep in mind why this is so silly. You know, someone committed a prank on me. Somehow got access to my Twitter account, and by the way, put up a picture that made fun of the name Weiner, and that's what happened here.
But Congressman, you would remember if you were to take a photograph of yourself like that, you know?
Well, you know, one of the reasons we've asked an internet security firm to come in is to see maybe something was manipulated.
All right, on CNN, Weiner again says he's not certain if he's the man in the lewd picture, so he's asked if there are any photos out there of him that could resemble the lewd picture.
I can tell you this, that there are, I have photographs. I don't know what photographs are out there in the world of me. I don't know what things have been manipulated and doctored. And we're going to try to find out what happened. But the most important reason I want to find out what happened is to make sure that it doesn't happen again. Obviously, someone got access to my account. That's bad. They sent a picture that makes fun of the name Weiner. I get it. You know, touche, Dr. Moriarty, you got me. At the time it happened, I tweeted right away that I got the joke and I continued on with my life. And I think that frankly, that's what I would encourage everyone to do. I don't believe that this is a big federal issue.
What do you guys think?
I can't believe it. Maybe someone done it.
Oh, I don't believe the guy, man. I think he sent out a...
Are you saying he sent the picture?
Yeah, I think he did.
I'm beginning to have second thoughts. You know, maybe I'm just soft in the head like Bud.
What are you talking about?
No, but I mean, I agree. I think maybe this guy was. I don't know. On MSNBC again with Luke Russert, again, Weiner is asked why Weiner is asked why he follows so many Weiners. I mean, Weiner is asked why he follows so many young Weiners. I mean... No, I'm just kidding. Weiner is asked why he follows so many young women on his Twitter account.
The people I follow, it's fairly random. You know, I follow Michelle Bachmann. I follow Congressman Ryan.
She's hot.
I follow various people. The way I did it recently was I said to people, if you'd like me to follow you, hashtag Weiner yes. Click, 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 and I follow.
So that's totally random.
It's completely random, but with one exception. Sometimes people do say to me, Anthony, I'd like you to follow me. And I do. Just because we're a network of 45,000 some odd people that have something in common that they follow me, I don't think that people should draw suppositions that I know any of these people in any sense.
I you know, the guy's a smart guy, you know, but we have found out that very smart people are not real savvy when it comes to the internet, and look at what's happened to all of these writers, these supposed brilliant writers, like that one dumbass that tweeted, you know, all that stuff. I mean, it basically wrecked his writing career. I forget the guy's name.
Yeah, one guy's talking about a lady.
Yeah, I forget who he was talking about. Maybe Jason remembers. But that guy... See, Weiner has 57,000 followers, but he only follows 198 people. So if you want me to follow you, hashtag yes. How many women has he got there, Jace? He says he's got 57,000 followers. He only follows 198 people. That's not a lot of people, especially with 57,000 followers. Now, you can't, if you're only following 198 people, that is not a guy that is actively trying to get a lot of followers. That's a guy who's just... You know,
you only got like 90.
I have 93 followers. I mean, people that I follow, yeah.
Yeah, but how many? You ain't got no 57,000.
No, because my name ain't Weiner. I got 5,300 people or something like that. Anyway, so you heard what he said. I can't say with certitude. The photo was sent on Friday over Twitter to Seattle student Jeanette Cordova, a fan of the congressman who says she's never met him, but once jokingly called him my boyfriend. The photo was quickly deleted, but not before right-wing bloggers republished it, suggesting it was proof Weiner, a longtime target for his combative liberalism, was cheating on his wife. That's what I was going to ask, because the guy, is he married? He's married to Uma Abedin, the glamorous aide to Hillary Clinton, who was considered the biggest catch in Washington when they married last year. Abedin has seen sexual innuendo and misdeeds take a heavy toll on the Clintons over the years. Of the 198 people Weiner followed on the microblogging site, most are politicos or Twitter celebrities, but a handful are young women, which has fueled the rumors. Several of those women contacted by the news said Weiner added them to his list after he put out a general call asking his fans who wanted him to follow them to type Weiner yes. It's nothing sketchy or shady, said Victoria Pinter, who twitters as Kitten Ex-spoker. Ex-spoker?
Ex-smoker?
I don't know. He followed me because I've got large breasts. No, he followed me because he was following everyone who did reply with a certain hashtag. I just feel bad for Representative Weiner and his wife. Weiner said some people don't...
Why'd you say it like that, man? She's not being dumb.
Well, I said it the way I said it because I wanted to say it like that.
You're not being dumb or nothing.
So what, man? Don't interrupt me.
You just seem to be being really mean.
What is it with you all of a sudden, man?
I think the guy is innocent.
Oh, a minute ago you thought he was guilty.
Yeah, you guys are piling on, though.
Get out of here.
Yeah, what's your trouble anyway?
You shut up.
Yeah, I'm going to tell you to go home early, man, if you keep bugging me. I don't think people should draw suppositions that I know any of these people, Wiener said. He said he offered his wiener. I mean, he offered to follow any Twitter fans who asked, and I just clicked and clicked and clicked kind of randomly. I tried to look for New Yorkers, but it was fairly random, he said, because even after all these people getting caught and saying things they shouldn't and get blown up on social media, even after all of those stories, I'm still an idiot. So that's where most of the citizens that I follow came from. Wiener, who is a prolific and savvy user of social media, bull crap. If you say he's a savvy user of social media, and then the guy turns around and says, well, I don't know, it was randomly. They said click, 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 click. You know, anyway, hackers tried to get into his Facebook account a few years ago, and again Tuesday, he said. After I changed my password just yesterday, I couldn't get in. It turned out that someone was trying to, maybe because of all the attention, someone was trying to get into my account, Wiener said. Now, I do know, and we all know, that there is such a thing as dirty tricks. It happened during the Nixon years. We know that. And one of the things that was remarkable, or not remarkable, one of the things that was illustrative about that was, oh, wow, there's dirty tricks. I mean, we all, very pristine and as pure as the driven snow back in those days, thought, oh, my goodness, they do that kind of thing? Yes, they do. And you know, with 40 years separating us from those events, why not? Why wouldn't someone try to carve this guy a new ass or butcher up his reputation or make him look like something he isn't? He is a big, big stumbling block to conservatives. I'm not saying conservatives are mean and nasty and spiteful and, you know, are cheating, but some of them are, just like liberals. World famous Phil Hendry Show, 877-876-PHIL. Now, the Unabomber's handwritten manifesto is worth less in auction than his hood. That's right. Plus, Jeff Dowder is going to join us to discuss a new business idea he has. In fact, it deals with some old music that he is going to put lyrics to. PhilHendryShow.com, the world-famous Phil Hendry Show.
Radio for patriots by patriots. It's the Phil Hendry Show. For patriots, by patriots. It's the Phil Hendry Show.
World famous Phil Hendry Show every night till 1 o'clock on the West Coast and 4 a.m. on the East Coast. And we got with us Jeff Dowder, who is, I guess they had a late night there at Mr. Pooh's in Hermosa Beach. What is the name of your band, Jeff?
Yeah, my band is Dark Horse Phil. We just finished our first set and probably, come on.
Get closer to the phone.
I'm sorry?
Get closer to the phone.
Oh, I'm sorry. Yeah, we'll probably do another. We'll do a third set here about. Oh, my throat's really hoarse. I'm back in the kitchen area. Anyway, we'll probably do a third set here in about 20 minutes about 20 minutes or so.
Now, you are working on a project where you're putting lyrics to what?
Yeah, we're putting lyrics, myself and Toby Bowe, who's a friend of mine from Box Canyon. He's from Box Canyon, also Mint Canyon, and we're putting lyrics to the Dick Dale's a couple of Dick Dale's songs. I don't know if I got the right one here or not. I'm gonna try and find it. This is a Dick Dale song. Let me just give me the box. Get the box. Yeah. Is that it? Can you hear that, Phil?
A little bit.
I got a boom. No, that's not it, man. That's not it. I think this is it here. Okay, so what we're gonna do is we're gonna put the lyrics to the Dick Dale and Stevie Ray Vaughan song Pipeline. And okay, can you hear that?
Yeah.
Okay, listen to this. All right. Give me the lyric sheet. Okay. I'm gonna go to the beach tomorrow and you're gonna come with me. Oh, yeah. Then we're gonna go. It's actually in the wrong key, man. Hey, man. It's in the wrong key, man. What? Hold on, Phil. I'm sorry, man. That was in the wrong. That was in the wrong key.
Well, I mean, you've got a recording there.
Yeah, I know. Well, that's cool. I'm going to the beach tomorrow. It's done to the tune of Pipeline. Here is another one called Shake and Stomp. I think this is the one. Yeah, this is it. This is it. This is called, okay, turn it off. Turn it off! Okay, Phil, this is called, the Day of No Nudity. And what the Day of No Nudity means is on this particular day, the guy and his girlfriend, they don't have sex or nothing. They just hang out, watch TV, go to the beach, and they eat like those, I don't know if you know what they're called. They're called trumpets. They're like a corn check, only it's a trumpet, right?
Yeah.
Doesn't that sound interesting?
Why don't you sing this song? What do you mean the Day of No Nudity, man? I don't know what you're talking about.
I just got done saying, man, we go to the beach, or it's not me, it's a fictitious guy.
Uh-huh.
And he goes to the beach with his girlfriend.
Yeah, and then they come back, they watch TV, and they eat trumpets.
Yeah. Okay, here. Wait till you hear it, man. Here it is. One, two. I don't know why I'm counting it down. It's a recording. Well, let's just count it down anyway, okay? It gives us practice. Here we go. One, two, three, and. Okay. Yeah, this is the intro to it, Phil. It's the wrong song.
Would you guys get it together, man? I got a few more minutes here.
I'm sorry. You got the wrong song, man. You got the wrong song. Everybody knows what you did. Everyone knows you did it, man. Here we go.
Yeah, look them all.
Me and your girlfriend.
Oh, yeah.
Me and your girlfriend. Sounds like the right thing to do. Me and your girlfriend. In. Hold on.
What is this song? Turn it off for a minute.
Hold on, man. That's called Me and Your Girlfriend.
No kidding.
Well, I mean...
I surmised that. Where's this one called The Day of Nudity?
All right, I gotta find The Day of Nudity, man. I'm sorry. I'm really, really sorry, Mr. Henry. Oh, God, man. I don't know which one it is. Probably this one. Here we go. Yeah, this is it, man. It's the Pipeline.
Well, you suck, man.
Well, I can't do that, Keith. And then we'll go eat some trumpets and watch the snow. But one thing's for sure, it'll be a day of no nudity. No nudity. Yeah.
All right, I gotta take a break.
Wait a minute. Then we went to the house your mom rented for the summer with the kids.
All right, just turn that crap. We'll be back. This is the world-famous Phil Hendry Show. Our number is 877-876-PHIL. We'll be right back.
Yeah!
Phil Hendry. For Patriots, by Patriots. It's the Phil Hendry Show.
Welcome back here to the world-famous Phil Hendry Show. The Unabomber's handwritten manifesto is so far worth less than his hoodie. That's the news from this auction that the government is holding, auctioning off the Unabomber's actually his manifesto, the handwritten manifesto. There is a typewritten version of one of the manifesto by the Unabomber. This is the nut Ted Kaczynski, and I say nut. He was far worse than that. He was a murderer. He killed three people, seriously injured some 23 others between 1978 and 1995 in a mail bombing spree. Some of those mail bombs contained nails and other kinds of deadly shrapnel, so he was, he knew what he was doing. If you're watching our video cast, Phil TV in HD right now, take a look at the screen. You see there we have the typed version of the manifesto. We're on the government website that is auctioning this off. This is a typed version of his manifesto, and you can hit that red button there and place a bid on it. It says that there are 11 bidders. The bidding has been going on for 6 hours and... Well, there's 6 hours and 26 minutes, I guess, left in the bidding. It has bidding details and bid history. What should we hit? Bid history? See what there is? When compatible bidding occurs, two or more... Blah, 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 blah. It's a bunch of explanation as to how they do things. Place a bid. Here are the bidders in the auction. These are the 11 bidders. Bidder number 11, 10. He's winning. No kidding. Well, I guess so, because he has the highest amount of money. I guess they have to tell people that, though, huh?
Yeah, people are idiots.
Yeah, did you know that?
No.
Well, then I guess you're an idiot, too, huh?
No, I knew. But I didn't know that they were... Well, no, I didn't know.
Yeah.
What are you all pissed off about tonight, huh?
I don't know.
All right, so anyway, there's the bidding. $3,000, $2,793, and the lowest bid is $150. You take a hike, you piker. Some cheap creep trying to get it for 150 fish. No way, no way, no way. What the hell is this? General Services Administration is on Ponce de Leon, Tech Square. Is this Washington, D.C.? Who knows what it is? All right, so that's that. Let me go back here, man, see where we're at. So if you again, you have the opportunity to bid on this typewritten version of the manifesto. And there are other things that you can bid on. A handwritten copy of the manifesto. Here it is. Now, you see, this is much more valuable. $17,000 is the top bid on this baby. This is the handwritten. And keep in mind what we're talking about here is some... Now, this is where the nut part comes in. He knows how to build bombs, but write a political manifesto, write some kind of treatise on how society should work. And Ted Kaczynski had about as much going for him, you know, as the average Bud Dickman of this world. Probably you got more going for you, Bud. I'm sorry.
Yeah, I do.
In any event...
Yeah.
All right, take it easy. In any event, there it is. $17,000 has been bid for that handwritten copy of Kaczynski's manifesto. Here's an autobiography that he wrote. What's the high bid on this? Sorry, I went over to the page too quickly. Here is an autobiography that he wrote. The high bid on that, $2,000. Personal journals, $4,000. His birth certificates and his licenses, $4,003. TJK code system and definition. What is TJK? Is that...
The Unabomber.
The Unabomber?
No, man, TJK.
I don't know what the hell that is. Academic records for $657. His Smith Corona portable typewriter. That's going for 11 grand, man. The high bid on that is 11 G's. Here is Ted Kaczynski's property deeds and letters, $913. His mental health records. Man, I'd love to see those. The high bid on that is $813. Medical documents, $400. Collection of books. What did he read? I'd just be fascinated to see that.
Look at it, man. It's all stupid stuff.
No, it ain't. Chinese political thought in the 20th century. Oh, look at this. The ancient engineers. Here we go, man.
Oh, that's that Eric von Däniken. Oh, man. Not that stuff.
Yeah. This guy believed that we were founded by Martians. So he's reading that. Violence in America. Maybe he bought that because he was mentioned in it. Who knows?
I bet you.
Some other crap. The True Believer by Eric Hoffer. Eric Hoffer is a philosopher. I don't know if Eric Hoffer is still... I don't think he couldn't possibly be still alive. He was a philosopher who was also a stevedore. Eric Hoffer wrote books of philosophy and lectured on philosophy and taught philosophy. And when he needed a job, he also had his union license as a stevedore down on the docks. I don't know if there's New York or San Francisco. It might be San Francisco. But literally, Eric Hoffer would go down to the docks and offload ships. when he wasn't...
He wasn't writing all about philosophy and stuff?
Yeah. It goes to show you, Robert, you know, or, Bud, you guys can be the average common man poets and warriors. I mean, those things happen all the time. All right, so that was that one. And then, but all of this is being auctioned off by the government. And why? Well, rather than destroy it, there may be people who will collect it and read it. The unfortunate aspect of all of this, of course, is that someone will collect it, read it, and believe it, you know. Bank statements. You know, it is all very historic, though, isn't it?
Yeah, I don't know, man. I mean, what, you know, what about like, all the Hitler stuff they wrote? They got that stuff.
Well, Hitler stuff, they didn't auction off, man. I mean, do you know that the Russians held on to Hitler's skull? They had Hitler's skeleton. They had the body. They found it. But the Russians took it back to Moscow, and they had the skull of Adolf Hitler, if not the brain, all the way through the 60s. And then they finally just threw it in the garbage or something.
What did he do? Did he just put it down a garbage disposal?
Probably, for all I know.
Well, they put it down a garbage disposal, man. Ain't that disrespectful?
Who gives a crap? It's Hitler.
Oh.
Bank statements. Here's something. A manual for wilderness survival, $2,615. That's what the bid is for this manual for wilderness survival. This is all Ted Kaczynski's stuff. All of the crap that he kept. A list of names that probably people he wanted to kill. Here is official maps from various cities, letters to and from his parents, letters to and from his brother Dave. And, of course, his brother Dave was the one who eventually turned him in. And I'll tell you, that was one that had to be, I don't know if it was tough. I don't know what it would be.
Man, it wouldn't be tough for me. I'd turn my brother in if he's doing something like that.
You would.
I wouldn't. You wouldn't know. You'd turn your brother to cops.
Why wouldn't you, Bud? Why wouldn't you turn your brother in?
Because he's my brother.
If he's breaking the law and killing people, you want that guy out running around?
Yeah, you don't know.
Yeah, I do. That'd be a hard decision to make.
It is a hard decision to make. This guy had to make the decision. He made a gutsy call, this guy. This Dave says, wait a second. This stuff looks like my brother. I think he was reading some of this crap that he wrote, and he contacted the cops. Letters to and from, he had an Aunt Frida? You got to be putting me on. Letters to and from Juan Sanchez. I don't know who that is. Now, here's the hoodie and the sunglasses. The hoodie that he wore, the very famous hood and the sunglasses. We all know the artist rendering of the Unabomber with the hood, you know?
Yeah, that's a very famous picture.
Well, guess what? The hood and the sunglasses went for $20,025. The handwritten manifesto, $17,525. So, and I don't know if anybody has actually won this or not. Here's the bidding history. Let's see if someone is actually, will they actually give you the name of these people? Well, it says bidder 18 winning $20,025. He bid this on the 20th of May. It may be over. No, actually, there's 9 hours and 59 minutes remaining in the bidding, I guess, for today. The closing of bidding is on June 2nd, 12:40 p.m. Central Time. Well, that's not possible. Oh, 12:40 p.m.
Yeah, that's later on this afternoon.
Today's the 2nd. Okay. So, those of you who want to bid on Ted Kaczynski's hood and his glasses, you've got until 12:40 p.m. Central Time. So here on the West Coast, that is 10:40. And out east, it's 1:40.
What about Mountain Time?
Mountain Time, it would be 11:40.
What about Alaska?
Alaska. Will you guys shut up with Alaska?
Ah.
Yeah.
What about Nova Scotia? I'm kidding.
Yeah. Anyway, you have 9 hours and 58 minutes left. That's a little bizarre, though, man. How come the last bid was on May the 20th, and yet the bidding has been open since then? You can place a bid. Nobody wants to go higher than 20. Well, so $20,025. If you can top that bid, boy, I'd love it to be a member of the Phil Hendry audience. Oh, yeah.
Be a feather in your cap.
Be a feather in my hoodie, man. I don't think anybody in our audience has that kind of money to throw around. Hey, we're in a recession. Who, you know, only some rich guy's got that kind of bread to throw at a pair of freaking sunglasses owned by Ted Kaczynski. All right, so that's the hoodie and the sunglasses. $20,000 is the big bid for that baby. And then, of course, as I mentioned, there is the bid for his handwritten journal, $17,000. And all of the rest, as I'm just scrolling through this here, and you can see it on our website, is really nothing, man. It doesn't even bust a grand. Books from private library, $1,000. Here's a bid for $3,000 for a long black knife.
Yeah, that'd be bitchy to have one of those.
Yeah, whatever, man. So Ted Kaczynski's personal effects up for bid, and the website, Jace, you gave it to me. It is GSAauctions.gov, GSAauctions.gov. Go over there, and you'll see a link to Theodore John...
No, you didn't. I said it was about... You did. No, you did not.
Yeah, I did.
No, you didn't.
All right, don't cry, Bud. Bud was right. You were wrong.
I agreed with him. No, he didn't.
All right, what are you crying for?
He's always saying that.
Don't be bald. I'm going to kick both you guys out of here. You're both out of control tonight. You're both out of control. You're not even on the you're not even on the same page. You're not even in this show. Get out of here, both you guys.
I didn't do anything.
I don't care. Get out of here. You too, Robert.
Well, I do.
You got an attitude on you tonight, man. Both you guys split. So anyway, TJK, that's Theodore John Kaczynski, the Unabomber. How about that, huh? And all that stuff. I wonder what happened, man, if I did an auction of my crap. You know, I live in a cardboard box or whatever that... No, I don't. But anyway, so it's at... Since Kaczynski's actions were designed to protest modern society's industrial technological system, there aren't nearly enough possessions on the auction block to raise the $15 million of restitution that he must pay to the families that he victimized. He owes $15 million, this piece of crap. Especially because his most valuable possession, the cabin he built in the Montana wilderness, is now on display in the Washington, D.C. Museum. And that is a really, I'm told, a really special place, man. When I get back to D.C., I want to go there. It's the museum and all kinds of things having to do with the major news stories down to the history of this country. Still, at least two items are getting some serious bids. We just mentioned them to you, the 35,000-word handwritten manifesto and the hoodie in the shades. Other items have attracted less attention. The top bid for a hand-bowed wood saw that Kaczynski used is only $310. I hate to say it, but there is some collectability in this auction, said one newsman. This is one of the most tragic events in U.S. history, and the manifesto has historical value, as does the typewriter that he used to type it on. You have to take the emotion out of it. Well, there's no question. There's no question. I don't think anybody would fault you for saying, I want a piece of history. If I had the chance to bid on John Wilkes Booth, like his waistcoat or his pistol? Are you kidding? All right, we're going to take a break, and I'll bring those guys back. I had to kick them out of here. It's the world-famous Phil Hendry Show. And don't forget our website, philhendryshow.com. And if you want that government website, it's gsaauctions.gov. Go pick yourself up a something that he wiped with. I don't know what they got over there.
Radio for patriots by patriots. It's the Phil Hendry Show. Radio for patriots by patriots. It's the Phil Hendry Show.
Yeah, you can come in, but don't fight, okay?
I didn't do anything.
I didn't either.
Both of you guys are giving me a freaking headache with your screaming and yelling. Just sit down. All right, I think, is Doubter back, or?
Yeah, a couple of minutes. He just called when I was in the kitchen blowing my nose.
Yeah, lucky thing, man. He called and you were blowing your nose. You got snot on the phone.
No, I didn't.
Yeah, he did.
No, I didn't.
Will you shut up? Got snot on the phone. All right, so Doubter's going to call back with what?
Said he's got the song down now to One Call a Day of the Nudity.
Day of the... No, it ain't. It's called Day of No Nudity.
Yeah, Day of No Nudity.
Oh.
Day of No Nudity. What the hell is he... Is that... You know, he better get permission from whoever wrote Pipeline But I guess that's just a trivial matter when it comes to Doubter writing his music. So I guess he's going to be on here in just a couple of seconds. We do want to point out a controversial immigration policy suspended by the state of New York. They call it controversial. Basically, let me find the bloody story here. Here it is. This is a controversial story, controversial policy suspended by the state of New York. Governor Andrew Cuomo has suspended New York's participation in a controversial federal immigration program aimed at deporting illegal immigrants who've been convicted of crimes. Why is that controversial? The Secure Communities Program, operated by local authorities in partnership with Immigration and Customs Enforcement, or ICE, has drawn opposition from immigration advocates and some of the city's lawmakers who say that thousands of illegal immigrants with clean records have been sent back to their country of origin. Yeah, because they're not here in the country legally. How stupid have we gotten, man? Every country in the world gets to have secure borders except America. Every country in the world gets to have one language if they want it, except America. Every country in the world gets to basically do whatever they want to do, except us. When we do what we want to do, we're called warmongers, we're called racists. We're not leading the world properly. You know what that basically means? If there's anybody listening to me from another country, you know what it means when people say that we need to lead? Basically, it means the following thing. You guys from other countries, you're little children. You don't have the brains of a mature adult. We have to be adults in America. There are people in our country, most of them liberal, who think that America should be the adult and the rest of the countries of the world can be what they are, stupid little monkey-like children. That's right. That's right. That's the racism. You just go ahead and you be the dumb little chimpanzee that you are. We'll be the fully evolved humanoid. Unreal.
Really?
What are you looking at your profile in the mirror for?
Trying to find out whether he got a monkey head. Well?
Oh, will you get over it? All right, let's see. Doubter is on the line now from Mr. Poos. And Jeff, what's up?
Okay, yeah, thanks a lot, Phil. We're here in Mr. Poos. I've got the song figured out now. This is called A Day of No Nudity. This is not the final mix, okay? It's not a final mix at all, but let's go. And I'm going to basically... What's that? Okay, hold on for a minute. Hold on. Turn it off, man. Okay, all right, here it is, man. This is called A Day of No Nudity. And it is the lyrics I put to it, to the song, what is called Pipeline Hit It. Yeah. All right. Two. And I'm going to the beach today. I'm taking my girlfriend too. We'll lay there and we'll get some rays. You can come along too. Then we'll go back to the house that your mom rented on Balboa Island. Probably drink a beer, watch some TV, but guess what? It's the day of no nudity! Yeah!
Jesus!
Pretty good!
Thanks, man! Then we'll get into the car that I stole with your friend last night. It's a little sports car! Right around the corner to the right. Cruising down PCH. See if we can get something to eat. Oh my God, it's the CHP, but guess what? It's a day of no nudity!
Yeah, I get the idea.
It's going to be bitching, man. It's going to be so bitching. Yeah.
Sounds pretty good, Mr. Doubter.
Thanks a lot, bud. Then the kids come down to the Pup and Taco. We'll be there at your Mako. Everyone's grooving. Nobody's late. Make sure you don't masturbate. And...
get him out of here, will you? We're late getting off. Phil Hendry Show, produced by Jason Ranch, technical director Dan Northcraft, and our associate producer Chris Johnson. Thank you all. We'll see you tonight. The world famous Phil Hendry Show and PhilHendryShow.com.
Thank you, Mr. Hendry.
Hendry.